It's time again for Checkoff Chats, of course, brought to you courtesy of your beef checkoff dollars. And remember, dairy producers, that involves you as well. And it's all overseen by our friends at the Wisconsin Beef Council, beeftips.com. Remember, it's also about research, education, and promotion. And I'll tell you what, we have been going down a very strong educational path talking with Mike Simone. He is the Executive Director of Market Research and Intelligence at the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. Now, remember, the National Cattlemen's Beef Association is a contractor to the Cattlemen's Beef Board. Cattlemen's Beef Board, they decide where checkoff dollars are being invested. During their recent convention in New Orleans, they released some fantastic consumer insights on what are consumers shopping for at the grocery store, what are they shopping for in the restaurant, and maybe as powerful these days, what are they shopping for online? Of course, Checkoff Chats also brought to you courtesy of our friends at the Equity Livestock Sales Association Barnes. Well, Mike, we talked previously about how almost regardless of where inflation's going, recession conversations, and even to a certain extent price, consumers continue to go back to beef, stay with beef, but they may be doing it in a little bit different way. Let's kind of recap for people what you found on how consumers are shopping today, where they're going to find their beef, and maybe a little bit about what that tells us going down the road. I was surprised at the projections for online shopping for beef. That was not necessarily one of the most popular picks fresh off into the pandemic, was it?
No, it wasn't. And, you know, the pandemic kind of forced us into that mold to do a lot of our shopping online, and people got used to it. It stuck. They loved the convenience of it, even post-pandemic, and they continue to do it. And, you know, 2020, the percentage that said they bought beef, fresh beef, online was about 20%, and that more than doubled just in 2 years, about 44% based on the survey results. Yeah. Satisfaction levels are really high. And once they make that purchase and see it's a great quality product, they can even see the picture sometimes with some of these services. And, you know, that confidence and trust and the product and the experience really grows, which generates that incremental repeat business.
Right. We always kind of flinch when we talk about other competitors in the marketplace, Mike, and it could be poultry, it could be bison, it could be anything else, but there's also that segment that I think our producers watch very closely, the plant-based alternatives, really alternatives in general. Really interesting information that's available at beefresearch.org or beefitswhatsfordinner.com. It's curious to me that there are an awful lot of other things that consumers buy that have nothing to do with plant-based. It's just something else in their shopping cart that might bump beef out of the way for a minute.
That's correct. And then, again, just to review, about 69% of consumers say they consume beef on at least a weekly basis. Comparison plant alternatives are about 27%. But then you look at those people that are buying meat alternatives, and they're still buying beef and other proteins at similar or regular or higher levels even. About 72% of meat alternative consumers say they're buying beef or consuming beef on a weekly basis. But it's about that variety and change of pace. Beef is still center of plate. They still love their beef, and then there are other things they're, you know, substituting. There are beans, rice, lentils, salads, vegetables, pizza, maybe without meat toppings, egg-based dishes, potatoes, etc., things like that. And really in plant-based, again, is farther down on the list, about, you know, that 25 to 30% level.
We've been talking about how the trends are moving around, consumers buying online, things like that. Are your antenna up at all, Mike, when it comes to those plant-based products that are out there? You mentioned, 27%, something like that. And are we at all amped up or aware of any changing percentages there?
Yeah, it's been going down since 2020. It was about, you know, peaked kind of when it was media hoopla, and they were kind of the media darlings in that 2019-2020 pandemic level. It was about 34%. At the middle of that year. It's been declining ever since. Based on our survey data, it was 31% in 2021, It was 27% this last year, and even this last fourth quarter, it was down to 25%. And then just objectively, if you look at the retail sales data, it accounts for less than 0.5% of total. If you looked at just total fresh beef sales versus beef substitutes, it's about 0.5%.
Now, that's, and so like we said, that's
pretty small piece.
Yeah. And the headlines can be so deceiving. That's why I wanted Mike to kind of go back over that, because that's what the checkoff is all about. Facts versus maybe an advertising blitz that somebody might have seen. And now the other thing that we've really continued to notice, Mike, and the beef plays well into is people are still cooking at home a lot. And that really brings about a lot of flexibility in the types of beef that consumers can enter into. You know, you and I were talking last time about how even with a little bit of an escalated price on steak, consumers will prefer steak. They will still, I guess you can call them, treat themselves. But ground hamburger, all of that still plays in really well with this trend of still making meals at home.
We do, and your spot on steak is, you know, there's an intrinsic value, even though it costs more. Consumers feel, you know, it's like a reward or a celebration or special occasion, and they're still going to make that purchase. But even over this last year with all the tremendous inflationary pressures, we've seen more consumers gravitate to ground beef. And again, part of that is the value proposition that it offers, but also the convenience and versatility. You can just do so much with it, many different meals throughout the week. It's easier with families. You can freeze it and pull it out of the freezer and have a good hearty meal in no time flat. So part of that has driven it. Actually, the inflationary trends had actually been a little bit higher on ground beef because of that demand. And steak is actually was a little bit less this past year, surprisingly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not just about the product that we're producing, Mike. It's also about the story we share of the families that are out there on these beef operations. That also was encompassed in this beef research. Again, folks, as I said, you want to see it for yourself, go to beefresearch.org or beefitswhatsfordinner.com. Can we talk for just a moment, Mike, on some of the parcels that were discovered about consumers' perceptions and I guess some of their concerns about the way that beef is raised? What did you note there?
Yeah, so overall, we asked a number of different questions. First, we just asked overall perceptions of beef in general. And by and large, it's pretty positive. About two-thirds, 68%, are positive about beef. And then you ask about beef production. It's also pretty positive, about 70% neutral to positive, 42% positive, so a little bit less than just general perceptions. But then you ask about how familiar are consumers with how cattle raised and grown, and most consumers are not too familiar. Only about a quarter, 27%, say they know or are familiar with how cattle are raised, but 70%, you know, a vast majority say they consider how their food is raised and grown when they make that purchase. So there's a little bit of an education gap there. And we ask, you know, what concerns do you have about cattle production? And by and large, actually, first, about 45% have no concerns. And if you ask what concerns you do have, the biggest thing is animal welfare, about 25 to 30% roughly. And most of that has to do with, you know, making sure they have plenty of space, are fed properly, access to water, things like that, well taken care of. They're not necessarily thinking greenhouse gases or the environment or things like that. Those aspects do come up, but it's usually single-digit responses. But by and far, it's animal welfare, and that's why NCBA spends so much time on BQA, beef quality assurance, mm-hmm. making sure we're training producers and education for consumers to know, you know, that we're doing a good job, how the cattle are raised. And we also track that in the survey in terms of trust, and by far almost double, about 60% versus 30% have trust in cattle producers and the way they are going about raising cattle compared to other proteins. So it's a good job for the industry, and producers should be proud of that.
Yeah, and it is all a part of the same story, that is for sure. Mike Simone along with us. He is the Executive Director of Market Research and Intelligence at the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. Like we said, it's not only about doing research to find out where consumers are spending their money, how they're preparing the product that you're growing. It's also looking ahead. What are the future apps that they're going to be using, viewing of beef? And it's also about their perceptions of what you're doing on the farm every day. You want to find out more? It's just chock full of information that might change your opinion about a lot of different things. Go to beefresearch.org, beefitswhatsfordinner.com. Mike Simone, along with us, Executive Director of Market Research and Intelligence at the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. This is all part of our Checkoff Chat conversation brought to you courtesy of your beef checkoff dollars. And dairy producers, remember that involves you as well. See what's happening with research, education, and promotion right here in our state. BeefTips.com. And thanks also to the Equity Livestock Sales Association for partnering with us. Checkoff Chats, featuring Mike Simone, Executive Director of Market Research and Intelligence for the National Cattlemen's Beef Association.